Music right there from Low. That's So Blue from their latest album, The Invisible Way. We had Nico Case doing Ragtime from her latest album, Mark Lanegan covering Greg Dooley's Deepest Shade. Crooks on Tape from Fingerprint, that's out now on Misra Records. We had Vampire Weekend starting us off with a track called Unbelievers. That's from their latest album, Modern Vampires of the City. Well, the Smug Brothers have a new single. We've been playing that for the past couple weeks. They just released a video for that song, and they're going to be playing this Friday night at Jimmy's Ladder 11. I caught up with Kyle Melton and Don Thrasher over at Ghostlight Coffee last weekend, and we chatted a little bit about what the band's been up to and what we've got to look forward to from them a little later on this year and early next year. So here's my conversation with Kyle and Don from the Smug Brothers. Okay, so we're here with Don Thrasher and Kyle Melton. What have the Smug Brothers been up to, you guys? It's been a little while.
It has. Yeah, we've been on a little bit of unplanned hiatus, but we're back. We've got a show coming up on November 15th, which will be our first show since May. I don't know, is that only our second show of the year, or did we play
January? That's our second show of the year, I believe, yeah, with our new bassist, Larry Evans, because we did the sideshow in May, and so this is, and we, everybody was busy over the summer, so we have regrouped and have a new release, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, we actually have two new releases in the pipeline. So, yeah, we're pretty excited. We have a full length that'll be out next year on the way to the Punchline, which I think you've maybe heard already because it's been done for a little bit. But then we just finished up a new EP that we'll be putting out pretty soon, too. We still have to mix it, but that's come together really quick but turned into a really cool thing, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty random and haphazard. I just thought, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we did something before Punchline came out? And so looked at what we had and, you know, laying around, like, okay, what can we tidy up and make into a really cool release? And so Strictly Triggers is the name of the EP, and that'll be coming out hopefully in December.
So you've got the show coming up on the 15th. Tell me a little bit about who you're going to be playing with on that one.
Yeah, we're going to be playing with our friends over at Pop Tech Records, Jean Michel, which is John Callan's new project, formerly Wake Up Mordecai. But he's got a new band, and I think he's really flourishing in his Morrissey thing, and it's really good. I heard some stuff they did at their sort of secret show, Communa Vale, they do every year, and they sound really good. I'm really excited to see them. And Forage is a new band that Brandon Clark, who used to be in
Tohi,
thank you, yeah. Tohi, his new project, and I'm really excited to hear them because I always love what Brandon was doing. And then Old City, which is some friends of ours from Cincinnati, Sammy McKee, who used to run Unlike Label. He had put out a Montgomery Green record back in the day, and so, you know, we're bringing him up. And but yeah, that's going to be at Jimmy's on the 15th. So four bands.
No, you'll have the EP probably in December and the full length next year. Are you guys already sort of plotting out the next release, or are you going to kind of focus on the live stuff once you get these two out?
Well, I guess both, really. I mean, we're definitely focused on playing, but right now, since the winter's coming up and we'll have a little downtime, we're definitely going to focus a little bit on some new material as well, because Kyle recently gave us a demo CD with like 29 tracks on it to pull from. Plus, we've got a handful of songs that are like halfway done that we could finish up.
Completely done.
So we're not hurting for material. And that's one thing we realized after we'd been off and gotten back together. Oh, yeah, one thing we can do is make records, you know, so or cassettes or whatever you call them these days. But we
can put songs out.
Yeah,
and
we like to do it, that. Yeah. So it's something we like to do and something hopefully we're back on track and we'll be able to keep putting stuff out, and hopefully maybe two full lengths next year, not to jinx anything, but we'll see.
When you've got kind of that backlog of material, you know, a demo full of 29 songs and things like that, how do you then kind of pick and choose which ones you want to develop and record and all of that? Is there a method to that madness, or do you just kind of go with what moves you?
There is no method. It's sort of a very haphazard process of like, okay, I'm in the mood to do this one today. Hey, Don, let's do this one.
And right. The way we worked up until this point really is we've recorded and we kind of would amass a backlog of songs and then we'd kind of put them together into these little projects.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've really had like a batch of demos. Plus, he's written a bunch of songs since then, but a bunch of songs where we could pull from.
Right.
And actually figure out what we're going to do. And so we've all been listening to these demos for a little bit. Now we'll actually, after this release show, sit down and talk about which songs of these do we really want to tackle and kind of build them up as a full band, which We did a little bit for some of the material on the next album, but we haven't done a lot of that. I mean, we're still trying to learn some of the stuff that will be on these upcoming releases, too, because, like, we would learn them, record them, and then they would sit there for however long. And, until we got around to them.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff, I mean, because the Fortune Rumors record after that one, because that came out in, what, 2009? I mean, a lot of the stuff that we've put out, like, on Stock Romeo, on Treasure Virgins, a lot of that stuff was supposed to be a record in its own right that over time just got, you know, picked away at, and so, which is fine, but it's been a nice sort of, batch of songs to kind of go, well, we still have those. And there's still like four or five of those left laying around. So,
you mentioned that Larry Evans is a newer addition to the band. How did you guys all hook up?
Actually, through The Last Waltz. I was talking to him through that. I'd never actually known him before. I'd seen him around, but never really knew him. And we just kind of were talking, and he mentioned that he was into looking to do something more kind of indie rock, pop kind of original stuff. And like that same day, Shane told us that he wasn't going to be able to play with us anymore. So we're like, well, let's get in touch with Larry and see if he's interested. And luckily he was. He's been a real big shot in the arm to us. He's really enthusiastic about the band and really about the material too, which has been really nice for us. I think it's been he's forced us to learn some songs we hadn't actually learned.
Does adding, you know, some fresh blood into the band, does that kind of help you guys maybe hear your songs in a different way, or take songs that, you know, were only recorded that you, maybe you never intended to play them live, and consider how you would do them on stage and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that he's willing to do whatever, it definitely makes us go, oh, okay, we can do these things, you know, because, you know, for whatever reasons before, like we said, you know, we're all really busy. Obviously, Don and I are, you know, and Shane was really busy, and Mark was really busy because he was playing in a couple other bands as well. So, you know, it was a time thing before as far as how much can you put into this. And, you know, but Larry's just like, I can do this, and we can learn this. And, you know, and it's, I think it's really made us all really think, oh, we can... we have all these songs. We've put out some records. Why don't we learn some of these other songs, you know?
Right,
and
exactly.
So it's fun. It's a lot. It's really been a lot of fun for us to go, oh, yeah, we could do all these things. But, you know, and Larry's, I think, really good about being true to what, the previous bass players have done as well. Like, he's been very conscious of these were parts. These were written. I'm going to learn what they played. And he's great at it. You know, he's been... You know, like again, really committed and really intense about it, so it's fun.
Right. And of course, he learned all the bass parts for The Last Waltz, and this is infinitely easier than that. So, you know, nothing against you as a songwriter, but you know.
True. Hey. I'm no Robbie Robertson. Right. You can quote me on that.
So on the EP, how did you guys do the recording this time around? Same way as always, or
what did we do? No, a lot of it was, well, again, one of the, because the single that we're putting out, They Are Fluid, that was one that was actually for the Blazing Trenchcoat Operator, and so we salvaged that. That was one that didn't make the cut for On the Way to the Punchline. There was a version where it was in there, and Don's like, no, this goes, I'm like, all right, fine.
In the sequencing, it ended up dropping out, even though we liked it a lot. So that kind of was the basis. We built this EP kind of around that song.
But yeah, we built it around that song, and then it was just kind of like, well, what else do we have? And there was a couple other ones that were supposed to be on that, and then this other side, I was just kind of hanging out one night, like, well, okay, well, what would we do if we did an EP? And this other side band I have with Benjamin Smith called The Red Fox, which has never heard the light of day, but is a fun band. And there was a couple songs that we had done that I was like, well, I think these would fit in the sequence well, and they did. And it took a little convincing because they were like, well, you know, I don't know.
But they're like impromptu, in the living room, kind of jam it out kind of songs. But they're really good, and they add some nice flavor to what would have been a cool record, but kind of fleshed it out.
They give it a little bit more of that, I don't know, they give it a more spontaneous feel, I think, than... You know, which is not to say we're not spontaneous enough, but it takes it to another level of spontaneity, I suppose.
Right. But to get back to your initial question, the four basic songs are kind of the rocker songs on there. We're all done on four track at Kyle's place, and then we took it in with Daryl Robbins from Motel Beds, who we've worked with since the beginning, and did like the overdubs and some vocal overdubs, guitar sweetness, and a few things.
Well, and he is one of the original Smugs.
He is. Yeah. He's a founding member of the group. So, and his imprint is still kind of felt on everything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about this music video, because this is pretty exciting. Is this the first music video for the Smug Brothers?
No.
Well, Daryl did the one for Striking Relative Humor, and Dave Ackles, who does the Absorb videos, the skate videos, he did one for Interior Magnets, both on that were on Fortune Rumors. And somebody else did one for Superior Jitter Case, which, like, I to this day I have no idea who did it, and I can't get anybody to fess up, but it's a great weird video. And I just showed it to Donald before we came over, and I was like, what is this? It's like this Running Man weird, like, spy cam video that I'm like, I can't explain it, but it's amazing. And so, I mean, there's a few videos out there, and Andy did this one, and I just kind of was like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we did a video? And he's like, I was like, because he did one for the King Out track, which one was that? Lamps and Their Lights, which I just liked. It was just like, it had a really cool feel to it. You know, I was like, hey, can you do, he's like, well, I mean, this is what I do. I'm like, yeah, I know, so do that for us. And he did, and we just hung out a couple times, and, you know, and there it is. So I'm really looking forward to having that out. Should be good.
What's that like to have, you know, different interpretations, visual interpretations on your music? You know, everything from Dave Ackles and his, you know, Absorb videos to this, you know, mystery spy cam video to what Andy Smith's doing. How does that feel for you guys as musicians?
I love it. I mean, I'm good at music. I'm not good at visuals. I know what I like when I see it, but I have no idea what to do. And so that's why I throw it to other people, like, hey, and, you know, everybody's done really cool stuff, and it never ceases to amaze me, like, how people will come up with something that I'm like, that's infinitely better than anything I could have ever imagined, you know? And, you know, so it's fun. It's fun for me, you know, but yeah, I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know how to do it.
Nice. So, yeah. Right. Exactly. But, you know, we grew up on videos. I mean, I think we all did, in a way, music videos. But, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, it was really tough, unless you had all the gear and that's what you did to do these videos. But now, anybody that's got the time and kind of the motivation to do it can do it with their iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, Andy just did it with his iPhone. When I remember seeing when, you know, BJSR, when he did that video that was like, what was it, the first video done on an iPhone 3 or something, whatever it was, I was like, well, okay, now everything's a whole lot different. You know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, the accessibility to it changed everything, so it's pretty great. And Andy proved it, you know, he did it on his phone and went home, put it on his computer, and hey, here you go.
It's very cool. So it's always good to see that stuff out there. And a lot of people find music through YouTube and places like that. I mean, that's kind of their main outlet sometimes. So it's good to get these different interpretations out there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much.
Oh, thank you, Juliet. It's always great to talk to you.
It's my conversation with Kyle and Dawn from the Smug Brothers. We met up at Ghostlight Coffee and had a nice little chat. Check them out Friday night at Jimmy's Ladder 11. Details on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio, as well as links to that new music video. Right now, let's take a listen to their new single. This is called They Are Fluid.